And the Bible says he's the father of all lies. I want you to know, our God is an awesome God. If he said he will do it, if he said, if he spoke it, he will make it good, then we have to just believe that. Just believe that. We have the nature of God. You know, when he tells us truth, and we lie not against the truth. We can't lie against it. Don't let Satan trap you into a lie against God. We know what spirit we're of, you know? And we want to go to Elisha 55, and we're going to read 7 through 11 for you. Elisha 55, 7 through 11. So if you have your Bible, take your Bible up and begin to read with me. And he says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, all you got to do is when you find out you made a mistake, just go to God, forsake your evil ways, forsake your evil thoughts, repent, and God will abundantly pardon you. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. See, saints, we want to put our ways in place of God's ways. We want to lean to the left and to the right to let the homosexual have a free pass and not be upset when you say homosexuality is wrong. And the liar, when you say all lying is sin, they're going to be cast into the bottomless pit. God is not going to let a liar tarry in front of him. He's going to say, keep him moving. And see, when we fail to tell people these things, just because it seems harsh to them now, how much harsher is it going to be when they end up in the belly of hell? That's the harshest punishment you can have. So we need to tell people the truth. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but washes the earth, and make it waters the earth, and make it grow, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, this is what the word of God does. He likened it as to the rain and the snow that come from heaven. His word is coming down in abundance. This Bible is 66 books. It's coming down in abundance. And if we go ahead on and plant that word in them, the Bible said it will come forth, it will bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And he said, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which pleases, whatever pleases him. He said, it will accomplish that which I please, not what you please, and it will prosper in the things that I have sent it. That's what he said. God's word is going to prosper. Whatever he sent it to do, if it's to heal, if it's to deliver, if it's to set free, whatever God sent his word to do, it will prosper. So saints of God, let's remember this lesson. And let's remember what spirit that we're of. We are of the spirit of God. We are of the truth, the only truth. We're not of the lies of the devil. So let's stop telling lies. Stop having these bad communications with people that lies. Because when you hang around with people that lies, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. So saints, we want to know that we're of God. We want to know that we're of the truth. So we will always tell the truth. And we want to know, saints of God, you know, we want to know that we have the nature of God. And this is where we're going to leave it, and we'll pick up next week where we left off. Amen and amen.
Evangelist on Facebook at Evangelist.
Go to with us, yeah.
Or you can find us at what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree.
You died to save man, the tea.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I am excited about this third part of our teaching because it is perhaps the most personal part where the preparation up to this point leads you to the knowledge of how to get out of the Word all of the benefit of the Word based on the Word. And you know, too many of us are just hitting and missing it when it comes to the promises of God and to the principles of God. We are living life in I hope things go well state. I pray this happens for me. I wish this door would open for me. When the truth of the matter is, God has given us much more authority than we're operating in. He has given us a higher level of privilege than we're living on. And we have, not necessarily through desire, but rather through not knowing what our privileges are. Therefore, not only have we perished in terms of many of the promises that were made to us not being fulfilled, but many of us lack the fulfillment and the enrichment of life because we don't know how to access those things that God has given to us. Now, as I've said, God has released many things to you that's not yet shown up at your doorstep. And it's not God's fault. There is an interference in between glory and earth. And Satan has that part where he runs interference. Now, he can't stop it, but he can sure slow it down. And especially if you don't know it's coming. If you have no idea that you've been blessed and a blessing has your name on it, you have no recourse to claim it because you're living without that knowledge. But once you are educated in the Word of God and you have that knowledge, then it changes the whole game because you know what God has given to you. And if you don't have it, then that means interference has interfered. And Satan is the king of interference. So that means that he has somehow blocked, slowed down your blessings. And so you have the right and the authority to invite the power of God to do whatever God says it'll do. Now, one important point I want to point out again is the fact that Jesus prayed the prayer when he taught his disciples how to pray in the model prayer, that we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, now, why would Jesus tell his disciples to pray that prayer if God's will was being done on earth? Because his will is rarely done on earth. And God cannot interfere because he has leased this world out to the enemy for a certain period of time, which is why the only way God can interfere in man's affair is if man gives himself to God, then making him God's property again, meaning he's been redeemed, repurchased, rebought, so that God can have control. Once God has control, God enters in this earth realm through human personality, and he affects this world through us. So if there's going to be any change, guess who he's going to use? Us. If he's going to make a difference, guess who he's going to use? When he told the disciples, pray, when he looked at the harvest and said, you know, the fields are white, you know, ready to be harvested, pray ye that the Lord will send laborers into the vineyard. Guess who he sent? Us. See, so it's important to understand he uses us to be a part of the miracle we want to be a part or have in our lives. He uses us to be a part to the answer of our prayers. We're a part of the process. Even in the part of our redemption, Jesus was there under the weight of the cross. And when he fell, they got one of us to help him bear the cross up. Simon of Cyrene, talking about human personality now, to involve him in the redemption process so that man would be a part of his own redemptive process. So you must be a part. God wants to use you in everything he does for you. Now, we talked about the wisdom of the word, and from that, we moved on to the working of the word, and now we're down to the win from the word. Now, why is this so important? Because all of the rest means nothing if you don't get to this part. It means nothing for you, I should say, because you don't win. You don't win. You win when you know the word, that's through the wisdom, and you understand the operation of the word, which means you don't have to. Well, let me ask you a question. Whose idea was it when the blind man Bartimaeus called for Jesus to stop on the road to get his sight? Jesus or the man, Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus' idea. The woman with the issue of blood, whose idea was it to heal her? Jesus' idea or her idea? All right, now I'm trying to show you some points. See, the miracle you are waiting on may be because you're not ready for it. You have got to determine when you're ready for certain things to happen. And so when you know the truth and know the word and know how it operates, then you stop waiting on it and you start doing what it says and operating in it according to faith, and then trusting God that the results will be what God said they will be. And so the Bible says, Matthew 5:2, you can just jot some of these scriptures down. I'm just going to walk through a few of them just to get us where we're going. Jesus had gone into a high mountain, and when he was set, he sat down, and the Bible says, and taught them. Jesus taught them. Now, I've said before to you that preaching challenges folk, but teaching changes. Teaching changes. Well, let me tell you why teaching changes. One, because it teaching the word nourishes you. It nourishes you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. See, true believers want to know, what does God say? What does the word say? Yeah, I don't want all of that. Yeah. Give me something I can hold on to. Give me something I can go back and read. Give me something I can search. Give me something that will hold me in the midnight hours. Give me something that will anchor me during the storm. Give me something that my soul needs, and that's nourishment from the word of God. All of this is for your soul, okay? Not only does it nourish you, but it also nurtures you. Teaching nurtures you. Psalm number 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. All right? Because teaching nurtures you and takes you from one place to the next place, which is the third point. It also navigates. Teaching navigates you from where you are to where God wants you to be. It literally takes you from where you are in not knowing to knowing. It takes you from your present place to the destiny God has for you. All of that is a part of it. Now, there are at least three things that's necessary in teaching for it to make this impact: time, attention, and retention. And repeat the process. Time, attention, retention. You see, you're going to have to spend time. See, preaching challenges. It just excites you, and it gets you hyped and ready, and it got your attention, but it don't tell you nothing else. And you're like, whoa, I'm excited. But what do I do next? Teaching, after you are excited, tells you, now this is what we do next. And it unfolds the plan. And so it takes time. You've got to do it. Got to do it. Got to take out time. It takes you paying attention to details. You've got to spend time paying attention. Thirdly, every time you go through paying attention, you will retain something you didn't get before. Or it'll take you to a new level of understanding. Now that's important. Having said this, I'll now throw out this principle for you, that teaching is a repetitive approach, meaning this: repetition creates persuasion. Repetition creates persuasion, not truth. What do you mean not truth? Okay, let me put it this way. Truth is truth is truth. Wait. But truth doesn't change you at simply hearing it one time. Truth has to be repeated over and over and over again. That's why God only gave you one Bible. And most of us will not master it between now and the grave. Because the truth of the matter is, all that is in that word is in there, but all that is to come out has not come out. So the truth of the matter is, he wants you to go over it and over it and over and over again until you retain more and more and more and get more and more out of it and learn more and more so that you can practice it more and more to be able to do. All of it comes down to you being able to do. Now listen at this. So keep that in mind. Retention is a part of all of this going over. Not just going over it to go over it. You're going over it to keep something every time you go over it. You want to be able to know more and more and more every time you go over this. You're not just going over it to be going over it. It's a purpose to it. Now, repetition is important because listen at this. Now try and get this concept. I could power lift 300 pounds. 300 pounds, jumped in, throw it down. When you look at me, I won't look no different. No different. But if I take that same 300 pounds, break it into 30 pounds, and do 10 sets of repetitions of 30 pounds, Before you know it, muscles will be bulging and carrying on. I'll be walking around like this. What's wrong with Pastor? Why are you walking? Because it will create, it will develop my muscles because of repetition. You get that point? You have got to do it, and the repetition is what makes the difference, not the pounds. So listen, if truth would have been the thing that changed people, then you wouldn't have to preach a message but one time, and things would be changed. But it's changing through the teaching process that makes the difference. And so here, when we get to this part, this is where we learn that we've got to work the program for the program to work for us. This is all about doing. All about doing. One more little quick illustration. The other day I challenged my mind. I said, you know what, we're gonna work out, because I'm, you know, as most of you know, I'm committed to losing some weight this year, and some of you all have committed with me. And so we're gonna be, you know, marking our progress as we go along. But one day I wanted to do something a little different. So I challenged myself to a 90-minute workout. 45 minutes of cardio on the bike. Just going on the bike, on the bike, on the bike. After those 45 minutes, decided I'm gonna do about 15 minutes or so stair climbing. Okay. All right. Then I decided I'm going to do 30 minutes of weights. I broke them down into bicep, tricep, muscles, and then I decided I'd do the last 15 minutes of powerlifting. Did not break a sweat. Barely moved my heart rate up. Barely moved it up after 90 minutes of workout. Does anybody know why? Because I did it in my mind. And then when I got ready to do the real workout, I was puffing after 5 minutes. Ooh, Jesus. How long has it been? 5 minutes. Jesus, the time seemed to go slow when you're not having fun. And so there is a difference between thinking it and doing it. The results don't come until you what? Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. So here we go. When we get to that, we're talking about practicing, practicing, practicing. That's the third and the part of when. You've got to practice. That's what practice is set up to do, to cause you to work out the kinks, to work out all of the necessary elements that will prevent you from performing properly. Practice helps you to become perfect at whatever you practice. That's why practice must be perfectly practiced in order to become perfect. You become perfect at whatever you practice, but you only become perfect when you perfectly practice. And so it's important to understand that you don't get it after one time. You've got to go over it, and anything, anybody, any discipline requires practice doing it over and over and over and over again. There must be technique to the practice. There must be a structure to the practice. You can't do it any kind of way. You have to do it according to the instructions, according to the directions. And so why is that important? Because if you don't do it the way the word says do it, it's not gonna come out the way the word said it'll come out. He said, well, I've been doing it, but have you been doing it correctly? And then what you got to realize is that it's not going to happen until that time of perfection comes. See, the reason why every team, you know, that's a professional, The reason they're professionals is because they are paid to do what they do. They have risen to a level of perfection that people will pay them to do what they do. And so they have to practice more so because that's their livelihood now. And you don't know a professional on television today, be it football, basketball, hockey, soccer, whatever it is, gymnast, whatever, who gets up and perform on game day without practice, without rehearsal, without going over it over and over and over and over again until you perfect it. And when you perfect it, you make sure it's perfected by going over it as a mole. And so that's why that's important. It's important. Listen, you expose the principles. You got all of that already in the first two. Then you have the examples. But the exposure to these examples is for you to execute, to practice it, to do it. Listen to what Jesus said, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not, and you shall hear the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice the word know, that's knowledge. That has a lot more connotation connected with the wisdom and the ability to know a thing beyond the surface. And so when you truly know the principles, then that means you know what it takes to make the principle come alive in you, and that's practicing it. So when you know it, listen, and do it, then the difference is going to come. Not before them. Not before them. Not just having a gym membership and not using it. Is going to give you those rock hard abs, or bring your weight down, or bring your body into that sculpted look that you got, or just keep you healthy. Just having a membership is not going to do that. Practicing it, doing it over and over and over again, time, attention, retention, repeat it. See, you know, even though the discipline and the science may be sure, the practice isn't. You've got to do it all over again. Why do you think they call the doctors and the lawyers medical practice? Law practice. They win some and lose some, but they keep on. Y'all going to catch it in a while. Life is like that. You make some decisions. You know better, but you didn't enact all that you know. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But you don't give up. You keep on practicing it until you get it to the point where it's perfect. And then you start making better decisions, and better decisions yield better consequences. And the quality of life goes up and up and up. So again, you're exposed so that you can have examples so that you can execute. That's again what Romans 15:4 says, that all of these things were written aforetime for your learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures you might have hope. Hope of what? Of having what the scripture says, of what the example showed you, of what the knowledge taught you. That's important. That's important. Why, again, I get the win out of the word when I not just know the word, not just understand the working of the word, but when I do the word. Do the word. Philippians 4:9. Those things, listen, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, a lot of times you want other folk anointings, you want that blessing, you want to be able to do like them do. Well, do what they do. God's not going to give you their